And joining us in studio this morning are two of the stars of the Royale, who you will see on stage. Thomas Silcott is with us in studios. Good morning, Thomas. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Good morning.
Massachusetts' own Thomas Silcott. You're from Dorchester,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
You ever spend much time up here in Lowell before coming here for this show?
No, I've always known about Merrimack Rep and just never made it up through here. Only up as just a little bit more east, up through Gloucester and Salem and Beverly.
So this is your first time actually performing for the MRT. What have you heard about it?
Wonderful, wonderful things. It's a Lord D Theater, but it's nationally known and doing some wonderful things. A lot of shows that are going off-Broadway through the theater as well.
Also joining us here in Lowell and in our studios by way of Buffalo, New York, is Toran White. Good morning, Toran. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well.
Go Bills.
What on your journey brought you from Buffalo to Lowell?
I'm born and raised in Buffalo, but I live in Queens now. I went to school in Pennsylvania. Then I went back to school in Buffalo. Then I went to New York to train again to AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. Uh-huh. And since then I've just been doing theater and everything else I can get my hand into, and was lucky enough to book this show.
When
and
did you?
Here I am.
I don't think you realize he's not going to go Bills there.
Oh yeah,
that
oh,
you
yeah.
never addressed.
You heard that? Thank
yeah,
you.
I did.
I just wanted to put that out. There.
What do we got?
Because I'm from Buffalo, so
six at least Super Bowl say, titles. I mean, how much can we rub it in?
At least just when he says that, just say no.
I feel bad for the Bills. I was in Tampa for the wide right Scott Norwood kick.
Oh, man, I don't even know if I was even born at that time.
Started it all and inspired Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. When did you get into acting? When did you get bitten by the bug that led you down this wonderful path?
I think right before high school, I wanted to go to school for acting, but the school that had an acting program didn't have a football program, and I wanted to play football, so I chose football. And then I went to college, and long story there, couldn't play football there because of grades, blah, blah, blah. Then I just started taking acting classes. I started taking it as an elective, and then transferred to a conservatory back in New York, and loved it ever since, and just stuck with it.
Why the theater in particular? Is that what did you start off wanting to be in movies or on TV and end up in theater? Or
you know what? I think so. Because my mother she watched a lot of movies, just a lot of TV, and I watched it with her just growing up, and just something I wanted to do. And at first, yes. So I didn't know when I chose to go to school for acting that there was theater and film programs. So I chose a theater program, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And I was like, oh, this is great. I love this, And I don't know. It just, I just kept on doing theater. And, the training is better, I feel, in theater. It's a longer process. You can really dive into the role more so than in film, I think. And, I don't know. Just...
This is how you
I think he'd take a $1 million contract for a movie, though, if you offered it.
Or a Bills Super Bowl victory. I don't know, one of the two.
Well, that too, I'm sure. Yeah, that'll probably come before the $1 million victory.
You really think good stretch? We want you to play the next Bond for $100 million. Nah, dude, I'm a theater guy.
How about you, Thomas? When did the acting bug take a bite out of you?
Salem State, which is now Salem State University. Yeah. When I went there, it was Salem State College. I messed around in theater with Elaine Corey and Boston Youth Theater Program. But by the time I was 20 and all my friends had gone to college, I said, all right, I got to go to college. And I went for an education major, music minor, just to learn enough music theory to get into Berkeley. But I messed around the theater department, and I got all swirled up in that. And for the next 5 years, I would study there, and then that would take me to New York, to New York University for grad school. And from there, I started my professional career working around in New York, and then moving to L.A.
Besides the roles that you two are portraying in this show, The Royale, what's the favorite role you've ever done? And if you have to go back to a kindergarten play, that's okay by me. Ooh. That's Thomas.
Man. Wow. I would say I got to play two roles in one production of August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So I got to play Toledo and Slow Drag. And Slow Drag I had done in grad school, so it was nice to revisit that. But to be able to do both was a wonderful experience with the people that I was working with. Yeah.
How about you, Terrell?
Mine was the same back in school. My Rainey's was another play, but I played Sylvester in My Rainey's. But I think my favorite is of the August Wilson series is Two Trains Running, Sterling Johnson. It's one of my favorite roles. Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, I think, won a Tony for that back in the day. But, yes.
Yeah. Thomas, you're playing the same role as Taran is playing the same role that Lawrence Fishburne played. One of my favorite actors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and in Two Trains Running. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Look at the honesty, though. They didn't do the silly ham thing of, oh, this, of course, is my favorite role. Well,
I took that option off the table. Taran White is with us, as is Thomas Silcott. They are two of the stars in the upcoming MRT production, The Royale. It opens next Wednesday, September 3rd, and will run through October 8th. You can purchase your tickets at the MRT box office or online, mrt.org, which is where you can also learn more about the show. The show, of course, as we mentioned, opens next Wednesday, September 13th, which also happens to be $5 night, sponsored by Anton's Cleaners. That's right. You can see this show for just $5, provided you wait till 4:30 or beyond next Wednesday. Purchase your tickets in person at the box office. And we promise this is not a trap. Lowell Police will not come out, or there won't be a Dateline NBC, you know, scam to get you for stealing. You're actually going to see this show for $5. This is a sports. You have a question, Beth. I apologize.
So it is a sports one. But did either of you box before this?
No, I did. I did Taekwondo for years. So that's helped. That's lent itself to getting in this show. But I never boxed.
I didn't. I studied Krav Maga and Muay Thai for a little while before the show. Muay Thai is kind of boxing. Are, you know, mm-hmm. kickboxing with elbows and knees, and, you know, but yeah, but no boxing.
Not a bad thing, just always curious.
Are there any fight scenes on stage in this particular show? Do you do the whole, you know, Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed fake punch things?
Yes and no.
Oh.
Yeah, you're going to have to come check out the show to see.
Sounds good. So this is the story of a fighter named Jay Jackson. It is the story of Jay Jackson.
You got it right.
Who was the first African American to fight for the heavyweight championship?
In this story, and the original guy is Jack Johnson.
I was going to say it sounds an awful lot like the Jack Johnson story. Who was the first African American heavyweight champion
in 1910? Absolutely.
So it's the story, but it's not exactly the story of Jack Johnson.
Yes, it's loosely based on his story, just like The Great White Hope was. Mm-hmm. Same story, same character. But Marco wanted to focus more on other human aspects of the struggle of this man to achieve this surmountable feat.
Many of us, just a few years back, got to see the story of Jackie Robinson, 42, the first African American to play in Major League Baseball, and it's still jarring all these years later to realize that, you know, what it was like to try to break into it. Jack Johnson did this, you know, 40 years before Jackie Robinson. I can only imagine what the social climate was like for him getting into this. Does this focus an awful lot on that?
It does. It touches base on the dangers that he had to go through, men showing up with guns, and, you know, his life was always in danger, and so much so that they had to keep him moving and to create his own opportunities to do what he did. He had to chase a lot of boxers around the world just to get those opportunities. Before he fought for that heavyweight title of the world, he fought another guy named Burns. In Europe, and he chased him all the way to Europe just to get him to relent to fighting him. Uh-huh. He completely destroyed him in the ring.
How much did you know about Jack Johnson's story before you took on this role of Jay Jackson?
Nothing. I didn't start doing research until I got my script.
Same here. Yeah, yeah.
And Taran, you actually play a fighter, a young boxer named Fish.
Yes.
And you will. you're like the first fighter to take on Jay in this movie before he fights for the in this production before he fights for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, yes. My I'm an amateur boxer. It's my first professional fight. Just so happens to be against this guy.
Yeah, they stick you in with a guy who's going to win the heavyweight title. Yeah, that's a good setup.
Yeah, yeah. But no. We have a good go at it. And then after the fight, you know, he brings me on as his partner, you know, sparring partner to help him train, basically to get him ready to fight Bixby in the play.
How much of a role model, how much of an influence was it in this show, Jay Jackson, but Jack Johnson, to not just young aspiring boxers or young aspiring athletes, but to all African Americans? Can we really comprehend that here in 2017? I would imagine there's nobody alive who really remembers what it was like in 1910.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I can only compare it to other people in history and the impact they had on Black history. I think about during that time there were so many other influences that were happening all at the same time, and you can fall into a trap and think that Jack Johnson was the only thing happening in that period that was influencing the Black community and American society at that time. But he was a big influence in that he represented the physical side of actually beating on somebody to get this heavyweight title. And then there's the title that he held on to for years and years until he was beat, I think, in 1917, somebody younger than him. So that's extremely significant for society in the Black community and for American society as well.
What's also fascinating to me about this show and similar types of stories is that it marries athletics, sports, with entertainment, in this case the theater. For African Americans, that was really their, it was either athletics or entertainment was really one of the only ways you could kind of rise up and show, hey, you know, we're just like everybody else by being on a playing field or being on a stage. And it was also one of the few opportunities that they actually got to show that as well, because in other walks of life you never got that opportunity to show that.
Yeah, I think in entertainment and in sports, they were probably the most visual, because there were so many other things going on. We had scientists, we had oil tycoons, we had inventors, we had every part of society. We had people who were ahead in their class and ahead in their field. But when it comes to entertainment and sports, that's something that you can go see. You can physically see them being successful in that.
But that really hasn't changed today. And I'd say to some extent that hasn't changed. Like when it comes to scientists, it doesn't matter what race, religion, creed, whatever. We don't pay attention to them, but I think when it comes to the issues going on right now with racism, it still seems to be that those who we love through our sports or through our acting are the ones that we seem to have more of a bond and acceptance of.
Well, I think that they have I think that across any racial line, entertainment and sports figures have the biggest voice and the most influential voice when it comes to things. If you have a flood in Texas and you see celebrities going down there to help out, then that brings more attention to the cause. So I think that people like that just have more visual than somebody who writes an amazing novel, a best-selling novel, or a doctor. Yeah, they just don't have as big of a voice.
Yeah. Turan, how much of the story did you know before you got involved with this production?
About Jack Johnson? Not much, actually, because I don't even think I seen the Great White Hope. But this production was done last year, and I auditioned for it, and I think about a year or so ago is when I first started doing the research on Jack Johnson, because you know, like I said, I auditioned for it, and yeah, I was definitely inspired by his story and everything that happened, and everything he went through, and just even the time period, the Reconstruction era, the Jim Crow, during all of this, and him just being this, you know, the most successful, you know, just black man during that time. You know, I don't know. It's a wonderful story. I just couldn't believe it.
So sitting here in between these two boxers.
And by the way, they look like boxers. I would never step into a ring with them. 8-ounce gloves or 80-ounce gloves.
Well, the one who steps into the ring with them is this petite woman named Megan Sandberg-Zakian.
Yes.
And she's sitting in between them right now.
No, different Megan.
Different.
Like a lot of Megans.
Sorry, there's lots of Megans.
Five Megans on this production. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we have a Megan here who is also in the production. I'm wondering if, do they ever get mad at you and then intimidate this petite Megan stuck in the middle?
Megan Passafume, who is the stage manager for this production.
Good morning. Well, here, I'll let these guys in. Have you guys ever felt like you've intimidated me during rehearsal?
I hope not. Yeah. Yeah,
have you been intimidated by her?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've learned to always be afraid of the petite women who...
That's right.
Yeah, especially the stage manager, yes.
Ultimately, what's the audience going to learn? I know you guys researched before you did this, and I'm sure it kind of opened your eyes to a lot of things. What's the audience going to walk away thinking, or what would you like the audience to walk away thinking from the Royale? Or will people leave with different impressions?
You know, I guess we want people to walk away with you know, all kinds of, I guess, emotions going through their body, because they're gonna love at, you know, some point in the story. They're gonna hate. They're gonna feel, you know, they're gonna probably get offended at some point. So I guess it's good for people to feel, like, you know, a range of emotions, and I guess that's what I hope people get, you know, from watching this production and just getting, you know, just to get a conversation started, you know.
Mm-hmm. We like to think, you know, we're sitting here in September 6, 2017, and saying, oh my God, that was over a century ago. Thank God, mm-hmm. You know, we're so much better as a society today. Are we?
No. I don't think so.
Are much of the struggles that guys like you facing, athletes like Jack Johnson faced in 1910, people like Jack Johnson mm-hmm. faced in 1910, are they similar to what they encounter today, maybe in a different, maybe a more subtle mm-hmm. way?
I would say more subtle. I think that there are people that are just not as conscious of themselves. So the way that they act and the way that they talk is not as apparent. A lot of people need to be schooled. That's one thing I would love for people to walk away from this show, is just much more awareness of who you are and what the society is like, and how to better make your choices and how they affect other people and not just yourselves.
The show is called The Royale. It opens next Wednesday night, September 13th, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater. $5 night, by the way. My personal favorite. I'm cheap. It runs through October 8th, so you have a number of opportunities to see this. It stars Thomas Silcott as Jay Jackson, based on Jack Johnson, the first African-American to hold the heavyweight boxing championship. Taran White stars in it as well. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to Megan, one of the many Megans here, both physically and in spirit. Michael Glicksman as well from the MRT. Find out more about the show online, mrt.org/royale, and purchase your tickets today. Is there still time, by the way, Michael, to become a season ticket holder? We'll give you one.
There is plenty of time to become a season ticket holder, but not too much time. So get on mrt.org/subscribe. We'll get you all the information. You get a great discount on tickets for the season if you buy them all at once. And all the shows are worth seeing. So
perfect. Yeah. Thank you, guys, ladies. I will see you on stage, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. It is 9:39 here on 980 WCAP.